This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone, and welcome again to New Beginnings, a pointed listening for you each and every week at this time. On the show this weekend, we welcome Leibel Sternbach. He talks about your retirement funding. Joe McKenzie is here, and we discuss a concept from my book, Words to the Wise. Also, special guests are here from AARP Minnesota. Our friends from Unity South Twin Cities stop in to tell you what Unity is all about, our National Day, and Words to the Wise. All this and more on this week's New Beginnings, and our show starts right now. Joining us right now is the heart and soul of the Jazz Fest that's coming to the Twin Cities. And this time, it's a different feel for it, but it's the same. Steve will also share what we mean by that. Steve, hello and welcome back.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. Thank you very much. Good to be back.
It's interesting that now people will be able to get up close and personal with the Jazz Fest this year.
Yeah, we are really excited and thrilled that we're able to bring back a festival again, you know, a real live festival downtown St. Paul. And we have many venues involved, and we're just thrilled to be able to support our musicians and support our community. We're just thrilled to be back.
Before we get deep into this, tell us the dates, time, and place for the festival.
Sure. It's June 24th and 25th, and we have some pre-events on the 23rd. It's downtown St. Paul, Minnesota. Most of the events, the headline stages and all those, the main stage is at Mears Park, which is in Lower Town, and it's very easy to get to. There's also the Green Line goes right in front of right next to Mears Park, and which we will have free rides here, by the way. I don't know if I told you, Freddie. We have Metro Transit back as a sponsor, and so you don't even have to drive downtown now.
That makes it even more special. So tell us about some of the acts, Steve. We're talking with Steve Heckler of the Twin Cities Jazz Festival taking place and supported by AARP Minnesota in downtown St. Paul. Who are some of the acts this year?
Yeah, well, sure. On the main stage, the Jazz 80 main stage, we have a really, I think, incredible headliners. Two of them had been previously booked at 2020 Festival, and we had to cancel them off, of course, and we had to cancel the event. So we're pretty happy to get them here. One is Matthew Whitaker. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if folks are aware, but he's been on 60 Minutes several times. He's 20 years old, blind from birth, and one of the young up-and-coming B3 players in the world. He's going to be I think anyone will think if they come down and listen to Matthew Whitaker, he's amazing. Coming with a quintet, and I think it's great. We got Emmett Cohn returning with Bruce Harris on trumpet, who is just up and coming. If you're not familiar with Emmett's Place, the weekly series he's been doing every Monday night from Harlem out of his apartment. And it's just great to have Emmett coming back. And on Saturday night, we have interesting. We have the Tremé Band coming in, the Tremé Brass Band. I don't know, Freddie, do you hang out in New Orleans at all?
Not lately, but I'm very, very familiar with it.
Yeah. So we were looking at bringing in a brass band for quite so many times, and the Tremé Brass Band was available, so we jumped at it. So they're going to be on Saturday night and doing traditional brass, and that's going to be a lot of fun. And before that, we have a Brandon Goldberg, who's coming in with a monster band, a really fantastic set of all-star. Marcus Strickland, for example, is on that one, and that's on Saturday. And locally, we have everyone from Lila Ammons playing with the Jasmine Big Band. We have the Waka West. We have a lot of youth performances playing with Ed McPhail. And then, of course, we're in 25 different venues throughout St. Paul. So you can actually, Fred, you can walk around from venue to venue, different bars and different restaurants, just checking out jazz throughout the whole weekend. So it's all free, and you come on down. If you don't like a band, go to the next venue. Or if you like it, sit there and have a drink. You know?
That's a wonderful thing. You're turning St. Paul into a jazz festival city. It's going to be great. So final thoughts about the Jazz Fest coming up just a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, don't remind me. It comes quicker than it just kind of sneaks up on you. Yeah, it's June 24th and 25th. All of a sudden it's here, and you hope that you have everything ready and everybody has a good time and it all works. You know, you have your fingers crossed on these things sometimes, and make sure, you know, that Freddie, your job is to make sure the weather's good, right?
That's right. That's right. I'll talk with my meteorologist friends and see if we can make that happen for you.
Well, good. Thank you.
That's Steve Heckler. I call him, I'm going to call you the band leader for the Jazz Fest happening in downtown St. Paul, the weekend of the 23rd. Can't thank you enough, Steve, for being with us this weekend on New Beginnings.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Freddie. It's great to hear you again. Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
Know what?
What?
Since I got adopted, I've learned a lot about these humans.
I know. I mean, check out these two. It's Flirt City over here.
Yeah, I noticed that. It looks like my human is definitely into your human.
Oh, look! I think she's getting his number.
Nice.
Your human's got some sweet moves.
Takes after his dog. Oh, look, they're doing that thing where they put their arms around each other.
She kicked up a leg. It's like in the movies.
That's awesome. Looks like we're going to be hanging out a little bit more.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
I happen to be a possibility thinker, because I know that I can reach my goals and overcome any challenge. That's our point of focus, confidence. I'm not discouraged by what seems to be lack or limitation in my life. At one time in history, no one believed that a person could run faster than a 4-minute mile. It was implausible to imagine that a man would ever walk on the moon, let alone a black man become president of the United States. In the past, I've overcome obstacles even when I couldn't see a clear path to my success. I've met my goals and objectives because I knew in my heart that I could, and I know that some of you share that same thought. When you hold on to this kind of confidence, hope replaces doubt, and your mind sees a new dawn. If I'm ever in doubt, I simply re-energize my confidence because I know that everything works out well. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning to you. Glad you're with us on New Beginnings. And we turn our attention right now to career aspirations. And with us, I don't know if anybody better than Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. And before we get into it, let's tell our listeners how we can find you and how they can make contact with you.
They can simply reach out to me, you know, through my website, rippleconnects.com, or call me directly at 763-438-1621. I'll be glad to be a resource to them.
All right. Today we're talking about words to the wise. And what have you landed on this week, Joe McKenzie?
Well, I landed on page 183 of your book, Freddie, No Boundaries. And your today's words to the wise were go beyond your limitations. I'm curious, that aspect of this book, how did you arrive at that? Because it was compelling to me when I read it, but I want to hear from you on your thoughts and strategies for going beyond your limitations.
Well, you know, I've worked a lot in the corporate world, corporate broadcasting and other industries. And it's interesting, you always hear the manager or the chief executive talk about the goals that we want to reach for the organization. and then they talk about the intermediate goals, and then they talk about the stretch goals. And by the time they're talking about the stretch goals, I'm thinking that individual must be out of their mind. How in the world are we going to go to a stretch goal? Because that's where they really want the organization to go, and how they think that they can really achieve the success that they're looking for with their organizations. And I thought about that, and I said that, well, the only way that you can really succeed and really max out your career is to go beyond what you think you can. And there are some strategies in regard to that. So the idea is, and we talk about this quite a bit on New Beginnings, is to find the individuals, or the individuals, or as you like to put it, your bench of advocates who can help you to go to that next level, Joe McKenzie.
So you don't go it alone. So when you start thinking about how you're going to go beyond your current limitations, your first step would be to start thinking about, who can I turn to? Who can I collaborate with? Or who can I seek advice from to do that? That would be your first step on this path?
Exactly. So I'm thinking, if I'm going to go stretch beyond my limitations, who can help me to stretch? Who's been there before? Who can help me to get there? So I'm going to be resourceful. It's another thing that we've talked about. Be resourceful and find out who can help me to get there, who can best help me to get there. So, and then the next step, Joe, is to take on a little bit more than what you think you can. So you know what the goal is. So the goal is X. But in order to maximize it, to go beyond your limitations, the idea is to eat the elephant. And the way you eat the elephant is one small bite at a time. So take on a little bit more than you thought you could in order to reach that goal, whatever the X goal is.
Okay. So there's the taking on more doesn't mean you take on too much.
No, you do it within your capacity, because, you know, it's interesting. I can remember growing up in a Baptist church. And the collection would come around time for us to contribute to the faith organization. And then all of a sudden, the person who was conducting the service would say, let's stop the music. And he says, well, you know, we had in mind for this special occasion how much we'd like to raise. And we're not quite there. So we'd like for you to, as we play another song, to dig a little deeper, and let's go a little further. And let's see what we can do to help us to reach that goal. And invariably, Joe McKenzie, each time that happened, that we, in fact, did go beyond the goal. So as we take it in smaller steps, we can really we can reach that goal. So that leads us to step three, is imagine what reaching that maxed out goal looks like. So the only way that you can get there is to mentally get there first. You have to see it mentally, see it in your mind's eye before you can get there.
Okay.
So imagination is a big key.
To look at this from a perspective, okay, once you have your advocates, and once you take on a little more, and you that momentum or traction starts to set in, do you feel, because of that setting in, you can start to imagine that clearer? Because you've taken that first step of taking on more, right?
Correct.
Now you've got a little bit more, maybe 10% more confidence to do more. Do you see that's how that imagination becomes, you know, key to that clarity on what it looks like?
Exactly. So now that I've taken on the smaller step, maybe I worked maybe an extra 15 minutes that day in a route to achieving that goal. And now... you mentioned it on a previous program, where we sit back, we take some downtime, and we imagine what success looks like. What would happen if I were to reach this goal? Does that advance my career? Does it improve my way of life? Am I able to, I don't know, maybe get that new car or take that vacation by having achieved that stretch goal by going beyond my limitations? So I take a look, I take introspection time, I take a look at me, and just to imagine what that looks like, and what are the benefits, that's the goal, what are the benefits of moving beyond what I think that I can? If I can't imagine it first, there is little chance that I'm going to be able to receive that goal or reach that goal that I've set in mind and that I'm setting out to achieve. But it's murky. Many times you find yourself out there on the point, or you think that you're out there alone on that point. But as we just mentioned, there's your bench of advocates. There are people who actually have been there before. We talked about that in step number one. So there are folks who have been there before. They know what that type of success looks like. And then the fourth step is to inspire yourself. Write down affirmations. Write down steps that inspire you to keep going. Imagine yourself as already having done it. And write those statements down. And you mentioned journaling at one point on our program. Write those thoughts down that help to propel you. It's like the engine. It's like the gasoline into an engine. That's the fuel that you need in order to go.
Because once you start, when you're taking on a little more every time, and you get that confidence, you also receive the benefits of that accomplishment. And so knowing that will inspire, that fourth step inspires you to strive for more, but also you know you're going to get rewarded because you're doing more, but now you can see it. You're wanting to take on more. You're looking for opportunities to take on more so you can get there, is what I hear from that fourth step.
Exactly. And here's the secret sauce, Joe McKenzie. Enjoy the successes along the way. And this is so fundamental to about everything that you might find in the book Words of the Wise, but this is so fundamental. You know, the journey is really the key. So we've got that going beyond our limitations. That's what we're talking about today. Go beyond your limitations. But as you're going toward that limit and going beyond the limit, just acknowledge what's happening along the way. There are small successes that are happening en route to that goal and that expanded goal. So celebrate as you go along in reaching that goal. And that gives you the fuel. That's a part of as I mentioned, that's the secret sauce in getting there. There are a lot of people who deprive themselves of a pat on the back, a really well-deserved pat on the back for having reached certain milestones along the way. And if you can celebrate as you're going along, that really helps, Joe McKenzie.
Because first, you owe it to yourself to acknowledge the work you put in and the accomplishments that you achieve. But enjoying that success, there's a good feeling about getting there, but it adds more fuel to potentially taking on more and new limitations that you're going to go beyond. So I see that as you're putting more fuel in for that next set of limitations that you're going to overcome.
Exactly. So to summarize, going beyond your limitations, number one, employ your bench of advocates, those people who really support you along in your career. Number two, set small goals along the way to get there. Number three, imagine what success looks like. So once I reach that goal, this is what's going to happen when I go beyond my limitations. Number four is to journal. Journal and just imagine, chronicle, I should say, what's happening along the way. Write new affirmations to support your goal. And then number five, celebrate the successes along the way, Joe McKenzie.
And that's, I everybody's on different, pages or paths to go on beyond their limitations. And many of them speak, to me directly. And you're right. I mean, the more that you take on more, the more feel you have to want to strive for more. And that's why I was so excited to talk to you about this, because I'm somewhere in that process, but you've been there for me all these years. You've been there for a lot of people in regards to their career. So I'm very thankful that you've mapped out a way to go beyond your limitations. And as you say in your book there, no boundaries.
Exactly.
No boundaries.
Exactly. So. We got to leave it right there. Joe, we do some fine work and you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings. Turning now to the fun side of my desk for you this weekend on New Beginnings, a review of major studies found that a third of the things that the studies say were good for you turned out to be actually bad for you. Unfortunately, we still have to wait a few years before we know if this review on what's bad and good for you is either good or bad. And how about this idea for a Father's Day gift? Quit spending money on ice and taking up room in your fridge by keeping your beer cold in the Beer Safe underground beer cooler. Using your dirt as insulation, it keeps up to 16 beers cool and content inside a plastic tube that measures just over 3.5 feet deep. It's a long tube you bury in the ground and pull out whenever you need a beer. It's easy to conceal with some carefully placed landscaping and also has a built-in bottle opener at the top of the rack. That's true. And can you guess? 7% of computer owners say they never do this. I'll give you the answer in just a second. And a sad story, a coworker had to put her golden retriever to sleep. Her dog never got human food, so before it was put to sleep, it got to enjoy a McDonald's cheeseburger. What was your pet's last meal? And can you guess 7% of computer owners say they never do this? They never back up their data. From the fun side of my desk, I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference, available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org. Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now let's turn our attention to financial health and retirement with Libel Sternbach, Amazon's best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. He's a great man. I enjoy talking with you, Libel. Hello and welcome back to New Beginnings.
Hey, how are you?
Unbelievable. I was cold over the weekend, but now that it's 70 degrees in some parts of the country, 50 in others, and 3 degrees in other parts, I think I'm going to be okay. Let's talk about Social Security maximization. You know, we all know, Libel, that Social Security is an important part of every retirement plan. And there's a lot of advice on when you should file for benefits and if you should take them early or wait until age 70 when you've accumulated all those deferred retirement credits. As a certified Social Security advisor, what are your thoughts on this topic?
So I got lots of thoughts on this topic. I got some good thoughts. I got some bad thoughts.
Let's go with the bad thoughts first. I'm curious.
The bad thoughts. All right. So if you Google around, you can probably catch some seminars or webinars that I've done on this topic. But the Congress has basically raided the Social Security Administration's coffers for decades. We all know this. And we also know the fact that when Social Security was first created, there were a lot more workers than there were retirees. The average age the average lifespan was less than it is today. People are not only living longer, but they're living healthier lives, meaning that they're not invalids who are sitting in a bed for the last 3 years of their life just waiting to die. You want to live, you want to explore, you want to see family, you want to do things. And the fact is that Congress, to get elected, has been pandering to the older crowd as we get older, the boomer generation, the largest generation really in American history. And they're the biggest voting bloc right now. And so they give them benefits and they say whatever it takes to get their vote. However, the reality is that you got to balance your budget. The money doesn't just come from, it does. While it does literally grow on trees, it does not economically grow on trees. And so they need to balance the budget somehow. They need to pay for all of these services that they are giving. And so some of the ways that they have been cutting back on benefits without raising taxes, right? So how they're balancing that budget, when you got a budget, you got income and you got expenses and it's got to net out at the end. Otherwise, you got to borrow money, which is just, basically making future generations pay for it. Mm-hmm. What they're doing, though, is because those numbers don't really match up, what they're doing is they're cutting back benefits in subtle ways that you don't see. So your check doesn't necessarily decrease. So existing people who are claiming benefits don't see a reduction in benefits. But what they don't see is that, and what you don't take into account is that new people who are claiming benefits are not getting the same amount of benefits as the people who claimed previously. Or that your check, which is supposed to grow with inflation, isn't growing at the same pace as your costs. And this is not like, the system was set up and, the cost of living adjustments in Social Security matches a certain number. And so therefore that number didn't grow. It's Congress actually went in and changed the number that it was tied to so that it is excluding things like energy and what they consider volatile expenses, because those things which end up, when inflation hits, those are the numbers that go up the most. They didn't want to give that into the check. So a way to cut expenses, cut what that increase is based on. Another thing is this deemed filing rule that they did a few years back, where they said that if you file for benefits, it's as if you filed for all the benefits that you're entitled to, which prior, right? One of the strategies was this file and suspend strategy, where people would file for benefits and they would suspend their own benefits and just claim their spousal benefits. So, just like in a divorce, you get, spousal support, you get that alimony. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Social Security. Social Security recognizes the fact that a spouse who gives up their working career should be entitled to benefits because they are the ones who enabled the worker to work. They have reduced the amount, the dollar amount of benefits that are eligible for people who worked and supported a spouse at the same time or, at different points in their life. And it's a very subtle way that Congress is cutting your benefits without you even realizing that they're cutting benefits. Other ways are things like moving, the filing age, right? The minimum, the full retirement age, FRA, up so that you can't file until you're older.
That's pretty amazing. It's really nuanced. I asked the question about the good and the bad, and I think I got both of them at the same time. And you were really emphasizing benefits, Lai, but we're talking about Social Security maximization. So what are some of the benefits of waiting to take the benefits? I see the numbers of 70 or the magic number of 67. What are some of the benefits of waiting to take benefits?
So when we talk about Social Security, there's, basically the rule of thumb is that for every year you delay benefits or you take benefits early, your check is going to be either increased by 8% or reduced by 8%. It's not exactly those numbers, it'll vary based on when your full retirement age is. But there's this range where if you don't take benefits when you're eligible, you can defer and you can get these deferral credits And your check when you retire at that later age will have increased by a percentage basis for each month that you didn't claim benefits. So essentially by loaning the Social Security Administration your money back and letting them, you know, accumulate their reserves longer, you're going to get a bigger check later on, which is great, right? And if you're single and if you don't have anyone else to consider, mm-hmm. then that's probably the ideal strategy for you. And you don't need the money. If you don't need the money and you can wait and nobody else is, you know, relying on your Social Security benefits, your work history, then yeah, sure. Delay as long as possible because that check is going to increase. However, you know, as soon as you have someone else in the picture, then that becomes, you know, we go from doing simple algebra to doing calculus.
How does that work then when someone wants to take early retirement benefits? You've already told me that the money is going to be a little bit lower. And I would imagine if I'm taking spousal benefits, the money starts to drop even further. How do you make sense of that?
So there's really, there are several factors that you need to look at. So the first factor you want to just look at, you know, flat out is, and this you'll see on your Social Security statement, is what will your check be if you claim early? What will your check be if you delayed benefits? And that's your simple math. The next question you got to ask is, what is your spousal benefit? If you are married or if you have minor children, then you need to ask yourself the question, and there are other people who can claim on your work history, but you need to look at those other people who can benefit from you filing for Social Security. And you need to ask yourself, is it more beneficial for us to claim early so that they can get more of that money up front? Or is it better to delay so that you know, my surviving spouse, when the breadwinner, you know, passes, that they get a bigger check? And these are questions that you really need to ask yourself. And then you got to also ask yourself the question, what's your health? What's your life expectancy? And it's different for everyone. You know, my dad passed at 63. You saw one of my mentors, he passed at 64, and he knew he felt he wasn't going to live until past 65. His father didn't live until 65. I had a good friend who died in his 30s, in his 20s, and his dad was in his 30s. So you really got to ask yourself the question, you know, what is my life expectancy? Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, well, one of my friends, his dad's dad is, you know, just passed at 101, right? So
big extremes.
Yeah, big extremes. And, you know, some of these people, you know, they smoke a pack a day and they're still 90 years old. So you really got to ask yourself that question. What is my life expectancy? And be realistic with yourself. And what will provide you more value, more money up front when you're younger, or more money later? And the answer might be that I'd rather make sure that my spouse has a larger check when I pass, right? That might be the real consideration.
That is a strategy. Yeah. So let's go from the benefits to talking about filing. And it seems like it's a big secret on how to file the best way when you're doing your taxes. Is there a super strategy, Gleibel?
There are no super strategies, hard work.
Shucks.
Yeah, shucks. There are no strategies. I love seeing these ads that say, get an extra $13,000 a month or a year in Social Security benefits. There are no secrets when it comes to Social Security. So much so to the point that the way, and the only reason why I know this is that I'm a National Social Security Advisor certificate holder, and the program is run by a former Social Security Administration employee, 35 years, and you know, he's been doing benefits. And he said that the way that their employees are trained is there's this system called POMS, which you can access online, publicly available. And it's basically they tell their employees, here, go online, search for the answers, right? And you have access to the same information that the Social Security Administration employee has access to, and they're not supposed to give you advice. So when you talk about secret strategies, there are no secret strategies. What there is just being aware of the rules and and thinking through how they apply to you and your unique situation, and recognizing that you are a unique situation. We are all unique individuals. And anyone who comes out and says, well, no, this is what you should be doing, this is how you maximize your Social Security, what they're telling you is a soundbite that sounds good, that reads good, it gets attention because it's simple and easy to understand, but that by definition means it's probably wrong for you.
Interesting. Leibel Sternbach with us this weekend, and we're talking about Social Security maximization. So as we think about this, it sounds as if there's not one size that meets all, but we really have to be aware of our own individual and if it's applicable to our spouse's needs and our children as well.
Yeah, and it's not just us and it's not just our spouse. There are other people who can claim on our Social Security benefits. You can have, you know, dependent parents. So if your parents are living with you, and more applies if you're close in age with your parents, but they may be recipients of your Social Security survivor benefits. You also have dependent children, right? You have minor dependent children. They can get Social Security benefits. Up to 175% of your Social Security benefits is available to people other than yourself. Wow. And so that is something to keep in mind. You are not the only person in this equation. The math is easy when it's just you, but hopefully you've lived a life and there's other people who are in your web.
Thank you, Leibel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Leibel's website is LeibelOnFire.com. That's LeibelOnFire.com. It's time for It Happened This Week. Oscar-winning actor Matthew McConaughey is making a strong pitch for new gun safety regulations after the deadly mass shooting in his hometown of Uvalde, Texas. McConaughey met with President Biden at the White House and told reporters, "This time it seems something is different." McConaughey grew emotional talking about the 19 students and two teachers who were shot dead at an elementary school in that city. Vice President Harris is linking a loss of abortion rights to a loss of privacy rights in the United States. In a video statement, Harris marked the anniversary of Griswold versus Connecticut, a 1965 Supreme Court ruling allowing contraceptives. She says a subsequent Roe v. Wade ruling on abortion was fundamentally about the right to privacy, the freedom to make decisions about your own body. And Travis Scott is booking his first U.S. festival appearance since his Astroworld event ended with 10 people dead. TMZ is reporting the Scott has been booked for Day in Vegas Festival in Vegas. While this year's festival has not been announced, last year it took place in November and would mark 1 year since Astroworld. And earlier this week was the birthday of the late, great, and Minneapolis native Prince. There were several celebrations this week. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Fry and organizing members of the Crown Our Prince mural spoke at a ceremony to name a section of First Avenue in downtown Minneapolis, Prince Rogers Nelson Way. I'm Freddie Bell, and it happened this week.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151. 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit FreddieBell.com/New Beginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Thank you.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
So I'm curious, Reverend Stacy, because we decided we were going to have a conversation here, and this is not, what do I want to say, planned. We don't know where this
comes. You don't know what I'm going to say.
And neither do you, my friend. So I'm curious about that struggle that was going on in your life, that moment where you recognized what I know right now is no longer working for me, and you didn't know yet the journey you were going on. So kind of set us up for that. What was going on in your life that ultimately led you to Unity?
Well, before I get too heavy here, I was thinking as we prepared for this service, and I knew we would be singing Can't Help Falling in Love with You. Being trained as a minister, I think back a lot on my time in the Unity Seminary. And one of the scriptures I came across, which came back to me today, is from the book of Revelations. And it poses that question, have you forgotten what you loved at first? And that leads into my experience in Unity. I came into Unity in my college years, long, long ago. But I did so in a rather painful reason. I was raised in a church with wonderful people, and my ministers, they're in their late 80s, I still have contact by social media with them as they are retired in Charleston. And so I had a great deal of support, but the church in general was very traditional in its views, and by the time I approached my college years, I knew, due to a deep, painful secret, my sexuality, that I was no longer accepted, at least officially, in the church. The official position was I was no good. And so I went seeking for a community where I felt it wasn't as much about conforming as it was about belonging. And I was in college in Houston and went to the Unity Church there. And very early on, during one of the social hours, many of you know a lot happens downstairs during our social time when we talk informally and in love with one another. And I heard a couple of women in that Houston church, and one said to the other, hey, I hear you're taking that class on astrology here at Unity. She said, astrology does nothing for me, but I hope you find what you're searching for in it. I'd never heard that before. I had grown up that there was one belief system, and if we wanted to be good members of the church, we all had to believe in that same idea without variation. And it seems so unlike humanity. We all are searching in different ways. And in Unity, I felt that there was a support for me to explore spirituality, and it didn't have to be exactly Kelly's or Patty's or Adam's, but yet we could respect and love one another as we each searched and wanted to be in this community. So that really was the significant way that brought me into Unity, and the story could go on and on, but I won't. Your turn. How did you get here? How did you get to Unity South?
Well, I got to Unity, and I can be grateful that I was aware of Unity because my mother had gone to a Unity church in Omaha, and so my family had moved here from Europe. We had never been involved in a church, and I was going through a time in my life where I was seeking. And it was interesting because I was in a position, very fortunate, to not have any sort of need. I had everything that I was taught I was supposed to have in order to have a fulfilling life. Family, house, what it, you name it, whatever the list was. And I remember kind of standing in my house one day thinking I felt completely empty. Like none of it mattered. I knew it mattered, but it wasn't filling me. And so back in 2000, I think it was 2005, I did what any person in 2005 did. I grabbed the Yellow Pages.
The yellow what?
Yeah, the Yellow Pages.
I don't remember those.
And I looked up Unity Churches. So thanks, Mom, for planting that seed. And it said Unity South had a little ad in the Yellow Pages. And I chose Unity South because there was a children's program at the same time that church was going on. And so I told my three girls to get dressed. We were going to church. And they said, we're going where? Where are we going? And I came in and I sat in the very last row. And I cannot to this day tell you what the message was about. But I sat in that back row and I cried and cried and cried. And what I understand now, I was crying because there was an invitation being made to me to remember the things that I had forgotten, but not consciously forgotten. And it's embedded in the Unity principles. There is only God, and God is good.
And therefore, you
are. I am good. And that is that concept. That concept, I am good. Wait a second, I'm part of God. I'm God? That blew my mind. I'm sure that kind of the same experience that you had. What? Very, very powerful.
Yeah, as a teenager, I don't know how I happened across Shirley MacLaine's book, Out on a Limb. Does anybody remember that? I know I was reading it on a family vacation in the exotic environment of the island of Mallorca. And here I was reading this book, and she was describing standing on the beach, catching that idea. I am God. And I thought, I could never say that in church growing up. I mean, that sounded like blasphemy. There are many statements in the scriptures about Jesus where they felt, I and the Father are one. Ha! You can't say that. But yet, Unity, and of course there are other spiritual traditions, but I found Unity. That I could say that, not that I am the all of God, but I am part of God, as we all are. And that really shifted how I see people. Oh, it's still a challenge. And this idea of remembering what we loved at first about ourselves, about others, is a practice we have to continue over and over, because those of you that know me, I can get really wrapped up in the details of ministry and making sure all the routines happen as they should. And sometimes you forget, what's it all about?
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. Thanks so much for joining us on New Beginnings, and today is National Corn on the Cob Day. Fresh corn on the cob is a summertime treat that people from all corners of the United States look forward to as we start the summer season. In different regions of the country, corn on the cob is known as pole corn, corn stick, sweet pole, butter pop,
sweet corn, and long maize. Picking the corn when the kernels are tender and in its milk stage serves up corn that's even sweeter. Boiling, steaming, roasting, and grilling are the most common ways to prepare corn on the cob. When grilling or roasting sweet corn, the husk may be left on to retain moisture and the flavor during the cooking process. While it might seem rude, proper dinner etiquette says eating corn says holding the cob at each end with your fingers is appropriate. Serving corn on the cob with other seasoning, butter, and oils can add even more flavor. So serve up that corn of the cob and have a great time. And here are today's words to the wise. Reveal your best self. Today's words to the wise read, reveal your best self. I'm Freddie Bell, and you can find more information at my website, freddiebell.com. Well, that's our show for this week, and we have a very special thanks to all of our guests this week, and of course you. We wouldn't have a program without you being there as well. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your week. And for everyone who's been a part of this one, this is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.